Better Leaders, Better Schools, episode number 16.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
Well, you're going to put the throttle down and give it, I don't know, 6-8 hours. You're going to end up somewhere, probably not where you want to be. And then, because you never set your destination, your course, you're going to be out of gas. And I'll tell you, out in the middle of the ocean, out of gas is not where you want to be. I've been out in the middle of the ocean with gas in a boat that's running, and it's not where you want to be. And so that's why that proverb is so powerful to me and why vision is so, so crucial. It's not something to be overlooked.
Hey, this is Daniel Bauer from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Get more content and resources at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Better leaders, do you need some winning leadership phrases? Download my free gift to you, the 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders. The 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders is an MP3 where I share a variety of phrases that have served me so well over the years in all my leadership positions. Get it now for free by texting phrases to 33444. That's phrases, P-H-R-A-S-E-S, to 33444, or by visiting the website betterleadersbetterschools.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Listen to this. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now it's time for some 5-star reviews. Ryan L. Sink says, "Very inspiring. Wonderful stories inspiring all of us, academic leaders out there." Jeremy Montoya writes, "This is a great start to creating a better education system from the inside out. Daniel brings on great guests and asks the tough questions to get to the bottom of how to be the leader they can be." Today's guest is Scott Beebe. Scott's big, hairy, audacious goal is to help small business owners and organizational leaders uncover the things they cannot see and to build actionable strategies that allow themselves and their team to live out their narrow brilliance and ultimately their business with purpose. Scott walked on to a Division I SEC football team with only 1 year of high school football experience and earned a full scholarship during his final 2 years. Moving to Texas after college with his new bride, Ashley, Scott attended and graduated theology school, then worked as a legal drug salesman for Pfizer selling Lipitor, Viagra, and other well-known products. Scott and Ashley planted 2 churches, pastored one of them, and have been working in rural Nigeria since 2005, building a platform for sustainable partnership with Nigerians through a variety of sectors, including business, finance, and agriculture. Scott and Ashley and their 3 children lived in Bluffton, South Carolina, where Scott founded and leads the On Purpose Group, LLC, doing business under the trade name Business On Purpose, a business coaching, training, and strategy group that works to help small business owners and organizational leaders to uncover what they cannot see in 3 primary ways. 1, development and implementation of organizational vision, mission, and values. 2, systematizing and automating business systems so owners can work on their business and spend less time in their business. And 3, leading virtual business on purpose mastermind groups where business owners and organizational leaders meet weekly to uncover and implement the things they cannot see. Scott is also the host of the Business on Purpose podcast, a weekly podcast where Scott interviews small business owners to get their insight as to how they are living out their business on purpose. Ladies and gents, let me introduce to you Scott Beebe.
Daniel, that was great, man. Did you do all that by memory?
Yeah, I had that memorized, you know.
I think the podcast is over now, right?
It is. We're good.
That's great, man.
Hope you got a lot of value.
That's great. I'm absolutely tickled. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Scott, when you said yes to this interview, I've been looking forward to it after reading your bio and the things you do with businesses and your work in Nigeria. And I'm hoping that we can pick apart some of the lessons you've learned in those experiences to translate to the school leader reality. So let's start there. Tell me, what got you into working in Nigeria? And what did you learn about yourself or about leadership in general?
So two-part question. The first, Daniel, is just the genesis of our work there. Really went back when I was in university. I really had no interest in global things and global engagement, anything outside of the U.S. I was pretty narrow-minded, quite honestly. And at the end of my the beginning of my third year while I was in theology school, so I was working on my master's degree. This was out in Texas. Came in contact with a guy who I'd spent my entire theology school in classes with guys who were very much not like me, and just didn't come from that stock. Came from a very different stock of business and athletics and all of this stuff. And so here I was kind of in this theology pool, and good pool, fine pool. It just wasn't kind of my pool. And finally I had this professor, and it was a class called Missiology, the study of missions, so global engagement around the world. And he walked in and he said, "Hey, my name's Mike Barnett. I used to own a business for 15 years with a business partner in Houston, and I used to play football for LSU and the University of Houston." And I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, this is like my guy, you know? And so he spent an entire year. I took every class I could possibly take with him, and he taught me about the world. And so when I got out, I ended up going to France in 2001, like literally 3 weeks after our first child was born, and helped do an American football camp in the south of France, teaching Frenchmen how to hit each other with pads, which is pretty funny. And then after that, was engaged, did some work in England and doing a lot of different things with a lot of different faith backgrounds there. And then that really started to develop something. When we planted a church in 2005 in Texas, I had a mentor. His name was Bob Roberts. Still is, actually. He's still around, and he pastors a church in Fort Worth. And they've been working in Vietnam since 1993, but doing it in a very different way. They've been working through sectors rather than working through kind of traditional colonial missions, et cetera, that a lot of people have heard about. And so I went to Vietnam with him for a couple of weeks and just did kind of a preceptorship to learn. And when I was over there, we were on our way back, and we were over the Pacific, and he turned to me and he said, "Hey, I really want you to pray about working in a hard place around the world, because Vietnam's a pretty difficult place. Communist country, very different, obviously, than where we live here in the U.S. And so we just started kind of praying and asking around and talking with guys. Long story short, ended up getting connected with a Nigerian guy who taught me all sorts of stuff about this incredibly diverse country, over 250 people groups all within one border, dialects like you can't imagine. Largest populated country on the continent of Africa. I didn't know that. Largest economy on the continent. I didn't know that. Eighth largest Muslim populated country in the world. I mean, there were so many things I just didn't know. And so we started working there in 05. And man, we just can't get it out of us. In fact, I'm going back in 3 weeks. And we've been working through various sectors. What we're starting to do now, though, Daniel, is we're starting to really narrow down our focus. And so this gets into the second part of your question. And that is, we're starting to really narrow in on business. And here's why. Is because that guy I mentioned earlier, Bob Roberts, he really taught me this philosophy that I've engaged in, and it's the global philosophy, G-L-O-C-A-L. It's the merging of two words, global and local. And the philosophy says, basically, whatever you do locally, do it globally. And whatever you do globally, do it locally. And so think about this. You've got a business guy, and an educator comes to a business guy and says, "Hey, we've got these schools in Africa. Why don't you come help us build schools?" And you're asking an accountant to go build schools. What I would prefer is that we ask an accountant to go work with somebody in Africa to help them do accounting, and ask educators to go work with somebody in Africa to do education, and vice versa, by the way. Ask some Africans to come over here because we get to learn so much, and there's such a richness of that culture. So we don't view it as us going to serve them. We view it as a partnership where right now, in the history of the world, we've got the access to get over there, where some of my friends over there don't have it here. So it's my responsibility to get over there. And so we've been doing that. We're about to, here in 3 weeks, 2 weeks actually, from the time of this recording, we're going over to work with small business Nigerian entrepreneurs, and we're going to teach the aspects of business we know and merge that with the aspects of business that they know to help really explode their business, because their economy right now is growing at about 7% GDP year to year, which is actually, I believe, more than China right now. Of course, China's had a bad run here in the last few weeks. But anyway, it's just the richness of working over there, Daniel. It's really quite extraordinary.
You know, I love what you say there in terms of the global philosophy. It's so rich. And, you know, just the experience of being able to go overseas, work in Nigeria. Myself, I've been to South Africa three different occasions, ran professional development camps, if you will, with staff and administrators. And like you said, you know, I went there to serve them, and they changed me so much by that experience. And we were blessed, too, that the head principal at the school I worked at, he was able to visit us the fourth year after that partnership was formed.
Wow.
You know, and we obviously we have some things that we do here in the States that, that we do very well and can teach that to them. But what I came away with, you know, in terms of, I think, you know, just collaboration and connection to your culture, in that pride and in what you do. And really just a sense of thankfulness, right, for what we have here as well, really fired me up in terms of how I can lead and serve at my current school.
Well, think about this, Daniel. We've got an opportunity in the U.S. If you're a U.S. citizen right now, you're one of the wealthiest people in the world. I mean, that's documented. You can't argue it. And so you've got access to disposable income in most cases. We've got passport access to almost every country around the world. There are a few obvious exceptions. We've got respect in a lot of places. Now, there's news outlets that will tell you we're hated around the world and all that. The problem is when you actually travel to a lot of those places around the world, you realize that's not necessarily true. Mm-hmm. There may be a minority that doesn't like us very much, but there's an overwhelming majority where we've got the opportunity for relationship and collaboration. And so I view it right now as it's our responsibility to be engaged globally around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, I mean, we're rich. That's the way it is. And we need to steward those resources well, whether you have a faith background and that sort of pushes your belief system in terms of being generous, or if you're just a generous type of person, you know, we can make a huge impact. You got Pat Flynn, and I don't know, you know, if he has a faith or anything like that, but he does those pencils of promise and is building schools. And as Better Leaders, Better Schools grows, we're either going to be building schools or getting into the clean water space. I've ran the marathon. This will be my third time and raise a lot of money to provide clean water for kids in Africa too. So part of the services that we'll offer through Better Leaders, Better Schools is definitely going to be sort of a tithe of generosity to help those in different areas of the world.
Well, you better give me a shot to bring you to Nigeria at some point. So don't leave me out of that conversation.
Okay, that's awesome. Hey, so, you know, in the, I guess, our pre-chat before we started recording, you were talking about a proverb that was very meaningful to you. Can you share that with our audience and how you picked that apart for me and those three things that really stood out to you?
A lot of people feel like that vision is kind of a modern theory. They feel like that Jim Collins brought it, you know, or one of our modern business guys brought it. And by the way, Jim Collins is a brilliant, brilliant writer. If you've not read everything that he puts out, you're missing out. In fact, I want to highlight a book that he wrote called Beyond Entrepreneurialism. I think it's actually a pre-book to all the big ones we know about. And he goes into great depth with vision and mission and core values, and he highlights a lot of corporate CEOs you don't know anything about. And so as a little sidebar there, just a little plug for that book, I think it's written in 92 or 94. Okay. But one of the things that we tend to focus on is that we want to have a vision statement. And I wrote a blog post a while back that said death to the vision statement. And here's why, is because a vision statement gives us a snippet. So if I told you, hey, I'm coming to Chicago, and I told all these guys around me, hey, let's go to Chicago. All they have in their mind is what they have in their mind, and that's it. I've not deposited anything in their mind other than, hey, let's go to Chicago. Instead, and that's kind of a vision statement, a vision story is, hey, we're going to go to Chicago, and here's what Chicago looks like, and I'm going to take a page or two page or whatever and tell you about Chicago, the above-ground trains and the pubs and all of this stuff that's in Chicago and makes Chicago such a rich city to go to. And that is so much more compelling than we're going to Chicago.
Yeah.
And so just starting out with vision and articulation of the vision, and this is not a modern day theory. In fact, when I walk clients through this, I start our entire full day offsite session with these two things, is that there's an old Jewish prophet, his name's Habakkuk, and he was having this conversation directly with God. And God spoke, which would be a little freaky, quite honestly, but never had one of those. But Habakkuk, or God told Habakkuk this. He said, I want you to write the vision down so that those who read it can run. And if you think about that, leaders that write their vision down, and I mean, Daniel, I mean literally, write their vision down and go back to it and go back to it and go back to it. Nehemiah, by the way, is a great example for this, if you want to read that story. but write the vision down so that those who read it may run. Why? Well, here's why. It's that proverb that you mentioned, Proverbs 29:18. There are three versions of that proverb that I've read, and they go in sequential order. And the first ones that I've read said, where there is no vision, people become unchained or unhinged. And so you can just imagine people are kind of in a box of safety, if you will. And all of a sudden, if there's no vision, then they lose those borders, those fences. And I know a lot of us like to say we hate borders and we hate fences, but the reality is we do. Just look around. We all live in houses with walls. And so we like to feel kind of the comfort and the safety of some border. Now, if we lived in a 3-foot by 3-foot house, we would be a little uncomfortable. But typically, when we're in kind of the safety of our borders, where there is no vision, those borders go away and people become unhinged. Well, when those borders go away, that leads to the second version. Where there is no vision, people scatter. And the reason they scatter is because there's nothing holding them in. And so even though sometimes we look at those borders as kind of burdensome, in reality, they kind of keep us protected, keep us safe, which then leads to the third version of that proverb. Where there is no vision, people die. And it's a little morbid, I get it. But the reality is if you look at life that way, it's very, very true. And the metaphor, we live on the ocean. We're 10 minutes from the ocean. And so I got to give an offshore boating metaphor that I love to go back to. And these offshore boats, I don't have one, but I've got friends who have these like $200,000 and $250,000 offshore boats. That's the reason I don't have one, by the way. but you'll get out in these unbelievable 32-foot boats or 28-foot boats, and they've got like $10,000 Garmin flat screens on them and all that. So imagine you got out in this beautiful boat, you fill it up, it takes about $900 to $1,000 to fill it up with fuel. And you're out in the ocean and your captain of the boat just says, "Hey, we're going. We're going to go to the R7 naval antenna, you know, 20 miles offshore or whatever." But never bothers to open those GPSs and put in the coordinates and actually map out where you're going. Well, you're going to put the throttle down and give it, I don't know, 6-8 hours. You're going to end up somewhere, probably not where you want to be. And then, because you never set your destination, your course, you're going to be out of gas. And I'll tell you, out in the middle of the ocean, out of gas is not where you want to be. I've been out in the middle of the ocean with gas in a boat that's running, and it's not where you want to be. And so that's why that proverb's so powerful to me and why vision is so, so crucial. It's not something to be overlooked.
Better leaders, are you looking to upgrade your leadership potential? I have another free gift for you. This one is a PDF, which I call 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Unlock your leadership potential now for free by texting UNLOCK NOW. That's all one word, no spaces, to 33444. Text UNLOCK NOW to 33444 for your free gift. 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Listen to this. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's right. A free audiobook download and 30-day free trial is yours at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. You know, that there's so much good stuff to pick apart there, but I love the idea of the importance of mapping out where you're going. And if you don't have those sort of boundaries, and you talked about Jim Collins, I remember reading, I think it's maybe in Great by Choice, but he talks about that 20-mile march. Mm-hmm. And, the two type of explorers that were going out, I think, to Antarctica, and one guy made it, one guy didn't, long story short, but the guy who made it had that 20-mile march. And he had a vision of where he wanted to go, but he also provisioned in abundance, right? He planned for more than he needed, and his men were taken care of. The dogs, you know, were alive, and they were able to make it safely. Meanwhile, the other guy just kind of sort of let it go by chance, and he and his team end up dead. They never made it. So that's so important, the importance of mapping out where you're going, and that's what you're talking about in Proverbs. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, Daniel, I think that's one of the struggles probably with school leaders and school administrators. I'm not one, but Ashley, my wife, is an elementary school teacher. And I think in general, and she works for an incredible principal, they've won all kind of awards, but from what we've heard in general is that principals are so busy managing detail that they rarely take time to step back and get in the plane and go about 60,000 feet above and to see where they're taking the school, taking their teachers, taking their leaders, their students, and all those things. And at the end of the day, it's not an indictment on principals and administrators. What it is an invitation. It's an invitation to do something different so they have a clarity of mind where they want to go. Because I know at the end of the day, they don't want to wake up and be confused and going around in circles.
Right.
They want to wake up and do something that's truly extraordinary.
Yeah, you know, in my short time as an administrator, it's definitely very easy to get caught up in the details and you just get stuck there. You could get buried very quickly and not accomplish anything of importance. But that brings me to another strength of yours that I was wondering if you could expound on this. I know that you help business leaders really figure out how to systemize and automate what they do day to day. And, you know, I'd love to hear how you help them and then pick your brain for different opportunities for school leaders to systematize and automate what they do.
Here's what I've found in the history of working with small business owners. The development of the systems is not rocket science, and it's not that hard, frankly. The challenge is showing up every day and doing it. That really, honestly, is the challenge. Because, Daniel, in 2-3 hours, I could show you all the tools and technology you probably ever needed to run and automate an entire process around a school. What's the challenge is, and this is why I actually meet with clients 1 hour every single week. And I limit it to an hour because typically a small business owner can't think beyond that. They don't want to sit and dwell on that. That's why they're business owners. It's because they lean forward, they're tasked, they're pushing it constantly. And a lot of administrators are probably that way. They're more aggressive leaders, which is why they're at where they're at. And so the challenge is not the rocket science behind developing the system. The challenge is sitting down. That's why I call myself a business coach and not a consultant. It's because I grew up in sports and athletics. Consultants have 30 years of industry experience. You know, a consultant is somebody who was a principal for 30 or 40 years and then can come back in and give best practices. A coach is somebody who knows the right questions to ask, makes you feel a little uncomfortable, shows up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and blows the whistle at you, kicks your rear end to make sure you get this stuff done that you want to get done.
So is that what you mean by showing up in terms of being there every day, asking those tough questions, kicking butt when you need to? Or how else would you describe showing up? Because if these systems are so easy to create, how does a guy or a gal that are drowning in their work, what would you tell them in terms of showing up?
Yeah, first thing, and I'll have to say this in the right way because I'm a business coach, is that you gotta usually, not always, but usually bring somebody in who's got your best interest in mind, is typically a third party, an outsider, who's not going to be emotionally attached to decision making. That gives me a huge advantage when right. I go sit down with clients, is I'm not emotionally attached to their business. I want them to do well, obviously, or I don't have a job either. But at the end of the day, when it comes to hiring and firing and training and development and all of those little bits and pieces of their day, I'm not emotionally attached. They are. And so I can give perspective outside of that. But that's why I create routine and I create follow-up with everything that I do. So you can ask any of the clients I work with. In fact, it's becoming a running joke. I was with a client and their kids the other day. And I'm actually baptizing one of their kids out in the river. We live are surrounded by water, and so we're going to baptize them. And I told this little sweet girl with mom and dad right there, I said, listen, before we do this baptism, I want you to know I'm going to give you some homework. And both mom and dad just started busting out laughing. And mom said, yeah, sweetie, Mr. Scott gives mommy and daddy homework every single week. And so the homework bit, the action items at the end of our meeting, I'll end every single systems meeting with, here's what we're going to work on throughout the week, and here's what we're going to have completed by next week. And so in the same way that a teacher gives homework day after day, that's what a business coach should do as well, is not only draw the right responses out of them, because Daniel, I don't have the answers for how to run a world-class school. They do. They've got the answers. What they need is they need me to come in and ask the questions and then hold them accountable to putting into action those things.
I love that. The coach versus the consultant, the power of routines and rituals. And I really think that the key point, the homework, the action items, you know, we take it a step further in the work we do sometimes at schools, but who's doing it? By when are they completed? How are we going to measure that it was successful? So I'm sure that you do that type of work as well.
Yeah, and I've got a tool that I just created literally last week. I'm not very creative in my naming of my tools and stuff. I call it the What Could You Delegate tool. And it's about a 6-page thing, and it takes you about 45 minutes to go through. But what I've found in the clients that I've given it to is it gives them unbelievable clarity on their actual job today. And I have them rank it. We do a couple different things in it to create two different lists. One is their dream job list. Those are the things that they have to do and gives them energy. And the other is kind of the, you know, all the other stuff. And what we then do is we go down each one of those, what I call twos and threes. They're the things that don't give them a lot of energy, and it's stuff they could typically delegate if they could find the right person. And we assign the activity. We define who they're going to delegate it to, how they're going to train them, how they're going to track and monitor the performance, and then set a timeline and actually implement the training and the delegation.
So Scott, on your website, mybusinessonpurpose.com, one of your more recent posts is called Go, which really focuses on the idea of momentum. Are there any tricks or tools or routines and rituals that you have in terms of generating momentum in your business and with your clients?
For me personally, Daniel, I tell people my day starts at 9:30 at night. Because if I can't get in bed by 9:30 or 10, my morning is really, really thrown off. I'm a routine guy. So routine really, really helps me. And so that's a personal trick for me. That's kind of one of my, you mentioned aha moment. I liked your bio on your website. You talk about your aha moment. That was kind of an aha moment for me. I'm not a guy that can stay up till midnight and function well the next day. And right. So my day really does start, you know, at night, the night before. So that's one thing. I'll tell you one of the other little tools and tricks that I've found, and this is really crazy, and most administrators are going to know what I'm talking about, and that is leveraging the power of something as simple as Google Drive. I use Google Drive all the time, and in fact, probably somewhere between 50 and 70% of my creativity business is done through Google Drive. I can share stuff. I can upload stuff. I can download. I can send. I can do all kind of things through that one simple platform. And so with this barrage of new technology that's coming out literally daily, I just did my first Periscope this morning, so I'm kind of toying with that a little bit. And if you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. Just don't bother. I don't want to inundate you. But my point is there's so much coming out all the time, and what we've got to be very, very cautious of is to kind of over-app ourselves. So that we get lost in the newness of all of these apps. And one of the ones that you can stick with, sit on for quite some time because they're constantly updating, is the Google Drive platform.
Yeah, and then you talk about too, sort of protecting yourself from all these apps that are just increasingly released, you know, every day. How do you guard against distractions? So technology-wise, but just in business in general, how do you create that clarity, that focus that you need to accomplish, that one major thing?
I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I go back to articulating your vision and then going back to that vision on a regular basis. So with clients, what we do, when we spend an entire day offsite and we develop a business vision story, a core or purpose mission statement, and then a set of defined core values. So they literally walk in at 9 o'clock with none of that, and then they walk out usually around 2 or 3 o'clock with a vision story, a mission statement that's under 15 words so their people can memorize it, and then 3 to 6 defined core values. They take all of that kind of that content that they have developed, and that is what guides them. But once we're done with that, then we create, I make them sit on it for about a week, then we come back together and create what I call a publish schedule. And that is, we take all of that content they just came up with and developed for their business, and then we create a publish schedule so they'll actually implement it on a regular basis. And so I also talk about, you mentioned another blog that I wrote about the highlights of life. So we get all cranked up because we walk out and we're like, we got the vision story, we got a mission statement, we got all this stuff. And then we go put it on the shelf and we just go back to doing our menial task. And I get frustrated if I see that, because what I tell my clients is, listen, you spent a lot of money with me and you spent an entire day of your time, and I'm here to make you a hero. And you don't get to be a hero if you just put it on the shelf. When you get to be a hero is when you've got a plan for constant review and implementation. So my clients, when they have weekly meetings, I don't quite mandate, but I almost mandate that they start every single meeting with their mission statement and their core value. And then at least once a quarter, they review their entire vision story with their whole organization.
And I think you talked about the power of writing down that vision statement. Is that something that you personally have maybe posted at your home or office? Is that something that you say almost as a daily affirmation? Or, and let me add one more piece to that. So do you have it visually? Are you saying it audibly? And also, how do you get people, once they're to the step of sharing it, that it's almost a routine, that it becomes meaningless, right? That they have this mission and vision, they recite it at every meeting, but what does it even mean anymore? And how do you help people with that?
Yeah, great question. So the last question is stories. So I'll come back to that in just a second, okay. But it's leveraging stories, I think is very important. And for me, yes, I do have it written down. I revisit it on a regular basis for me, usually about once a month is when I come back to mine and just read it in total. But then also when I'm working with clients, I'll usually give them the example, and it's my vision statement for my business so they can hear it and just kind of what that may or may not sound like. But your second question, which I started with, was how do you implement it so it's fresh? I have the privilege of working with a dental office right now, and it's so much fun because people do not like the dentist. I don't like the dentist. And this place is so magnetic. When you're in there and you're like, a dental office is like, it sounds like it's a fun place. Yeah. They actually give you cookies when you leave. You know how you always feel guilty? Like, I can't eat for, 18 hours, whatever. They actually give you cookies when you leave. And we just worked up their mission statement. It's called Change Your Life Story. And I mean, they fix teeth, right?
Right.
And instead they came up with this incredible, mission statement, and then their core value set is really cool. But here's how they're keeping it fresh for their team. Is every time they talk about their core values, they're stopping on each one and they're saying, hey, I want you to tell me a story how we lived that out this week. Or tell me a story how we missed it. Maybe we missed that this week. So tying your mission statement and tying your core value set that are defined to stories, real life stories that happen every single day is really powerful. And people that are visual really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I love that idea of sharing examples, or even more powerful, like an opposite, an antonym. How did we miss it? And then just digging into that, unpacking it, and revising really maybe how you operationalize, the business so that you don't miss it anymore and fix those mistakes.
Yeah. Man, you're a school guy. I've never had anybody use the term antonym with me on a podcast. So well done.
Thank you. And I've never heard about a dentist that gives out cookies. So I'm actually on Google right now searching that for Chicago, offices, but I don't think I'm going to find one. So let me ask you this, Scott. How would you define your leadership style?
I guess if I were to define it in one word, Daniel, it would have to be I just define everything in glocal. I really do. It sounds crazy. But I really want people to find let me define it in two words, I guess, or two phrases. One is glocal. And the other is narrow brilliance. I want to find people's narrow brilliance. It's the one thing that I believe God has deposited in you, and you're better at than most everybody in your world. You may not be the best in the world, and that's okay. It doesn't matter. That's really irrelevant, frankly, because what's important is the network of people that you're in. And so I don't need the world-class surgeon. I just need a good one. I want a really, really good one that I know that can fix my back. If he's fixed the back of presidents and world leaders, that's great. But I don't necessarily need that guy. I want somebody who's really, really good at what he does. And so helping people find their narrow brilliance, man, that's what gets me up and drives me. And then merging that both locally and globally, that's like cherry on top.
So, I think people answer that question pretty easily, how they define their leadership style. But one that people shy away from sometimes is, what was your worst leadership mistake? I think failure is one of the best teachers. And so what did you learn from that mistake too?
Mine was pretty recent. As I think most people do, I've got a few, so I could draw from a, relatively deep well. But one was most recent. And I was in a situation where I was the executive leader of the organization. So I was a non-board member, but I was the executive leader of an organization. I reported. I was the single point of accountability to a board. And we had a situation where we had a member on the board that just kind of went rogue against the rest of the board. And what I did is I kept quiet for way too long. And the board hired me, but I also had a relationship with this one rogue member where I kind of I talked with this person on a regular basis, briefed them so that they then could brief the board, because we had a lot of board members, and these were very, very high-powered individuals who had big companies to run, other boards that they sat on. So I was very cautious in being overly cautious, because I'm an I and a C. So I'm across the disc profile, which is really kind of different. So my I is dominant, so I'm very people aware, and I wanted to make sure that I was not ruffling feathers of the ones who hired me, when in reality what they needed was they needed me to speak up more. And so that was one of my, that probably one of my biggest learning lessons, was when you're in a situation like that, is to be candid, but to be courteous in being candid. What I always told myself was I was being diplomatic. I pride myself on being diplomatic. But when diplomacy kind of bottles the truth, that's when you've got to really, really beware, because you could let things spiral out of control. And that's exactly what happened.
You know, we talked about avoiding distractions, and I like how you mentioned too that you have this routine that helps you be successful every day by going to bed at 9:30. Do you have anything else that helps you balance your work and your life and your family?
It's two things. So I talk a lot about vision for your organization. About 2 months ago, my family and I actually sat down and we wrote out a family vision. In fact, I'm putting together an online course. I'll let you know when I'm done with it here in the next couple of months. But it's called, again, I told you I'm not very creative with names, so it's called How to Create a Family Vision. That's going to be the name of it. And basically, I'm going to walk heads of household through how to sit their family down at their dinner table and walk through, in about an hour and a half, a pretty sizable family vision. And so that's one way we try to limit distractions, because we've got kids 14, 12, and 10, so distractions are everywhere right now with, hey, come play for this team, come do this, come do that. So there is a constant request for time, and so having that is such a priority. And then the other thing, it's going to sound crazy, I'm going to go back and say, by the way, Google doesn't pay me for all of this stuff. Well, I guess they do, because they give me their stuff for free, so maybe they do pay me. But Google Calendar, yeah. Ashley and I share that, and that's been kind of a small game changer for us, just so she knows where I'm at and kind of what I'm doing, because I'll have stuff run through my head, and I'll just forget to communicate that. And so that's been really helpful to kind of give us boundaries and know where's who's going when, and every Sunday night we sit down and we go through that together for the whole week.
Did you charge your family to help create that vision, or was that a free service?
Yeah, free service, but I may give them an affiliate code, so we'll see. If they're willing to go out and hustle and sell, then I may give them an affiliate code.
And I'm not sure about you and Ashley, but I know from myself and Erica, yeah, the Google Calendar has been a game changer, but if you forget to add something to Google Calendar, that could start something in its own.
That's a game changer too.
Crucial Conversations. That's a great book for those of you that need to get through that. Hey, Scott, what do you do for fun?
Oh, man. Ashley and I love to travel. I mean, we love to travel. And here's the thing is, you live in a cool town. I live in a town you don't want to leave. We're right outside of Hilton Head, South Carolina. We can go 20 minutes and we're in Beaufort, South Carolina. We can go an hour and a half and we're in Charleston, South Carolina. I mean, it's just beautiful everywhere. But we like to travel all over and do that. And then we just love to, Ashley and I just love to sit around and chat. And lately we've gotten into just riding our bikes and talking. And so we do a lot of that, and then just hanging out with our kids whenever, wherever we can.
And recently you mentioned Beyond Entrepreneurism by Jim Collins, one of his earlier works. But, you know, would that be the book that you recommend all principals to read, or is there another book that you would recommend?
I'm going to give two. These are going to be very unorthodox, but that's okay. I think one is a foundational book that will expand your mind. It'll force you to think differently. It's called The World is Flat by Thomas L. Friedman. So Tom Friedman is a New York Times columnist, very, very well-known columnist, spent a long time in Beirut. In fact, wrote a book called From Beirut to Jerusalem. He will make you think differently about the world. And I want to say the book's probably 10 to 15 years old, and he's probably written a revision. But again, it'll just expand your mind to begin to think differently about how organizations work, even though it's not really even a book about organizations. So that's one. The second is going to be entirely unorthodox, but the reason I mention it is because it's emerging. My business platform, in fact, the Business on Purpose podcast, the whole purpose of that is to highlight business owners who are trying to integrate their faith in their work. And there's one guy I think who's done it better than most I've ever seen, and that's a guy named Dallas Willard. He just passed away a couple years ago. Wrote a book that is a reference book on my bookshelf called The Divine Conspiracy. And I wish I could tie it directly to being a school administrator. But again, I think the two books that I've given you are not necessarily how to run a school better or how to run a district better, but just simply to expand your mind, to think totally different about what you see every day.
That's the exact type of books we're looking for at Better Leaders, Better Schools, because I was telling you in the pre-chat before we started recording this podcast, you know, everything really that I write is pulling from different industries or even pop culture. I wrote a piece about what I learned about leadership from watching the Disney movie Inside Out. And that's the thing. You expand your mind, you learn from different areas. And then when you get into, I guess, what you've seen as routine in the school, you now have a new creativity about how to approach those problems. So I want to thank you for those two book recommendations. We'll definitely have those linked up in the show notes so people can pick those up. So last two questions for you. Is there a tech resource besides Google Drive? All right. Google Drive, Google Calendar. Is there another Google, or is there anything else that you use that really helps you be effective?
Yeah. So as I'm getting to this world, I mentioned to you before that I'm getting into the world of virtual assistants and starting to do more and more work with virtual assistants. And one that I found is super simple is a tool called Trello. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of it, but think of like post-it notes just in the cloud. And that's basically what it is. And that's helped a lot.
Okay. So I use that a lot as well. So I definitely vouch for Trello. Okay. So this is the big one. I love to ask people, especially outside of the educational industry, how they build a school. So you are building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you create the school if you're given a blank slate and unlimited resources? What would your top three priorities be?
All right. So I thought about this yesterday, actually, and I walked through this. I'm a huge podcast junkie, right? I have learned, I cannot tell you what I've learned in 12 months by just listening to all sorts of different podcasts. And so here's the school that I would design. It would be a school that would be distance-based with MP3 podcast players and solar-powered, so they could be anywhere in the world. And I would build an entire curriculum around podcasts. And they would be a podcast about business. They would be podcast about the trades. There's a new guy that I met at Podcast Movement, and he's doing a podcast on, it's called The Tradesman or something like that. He's an upholster, and he's doing a podcast just highlighting nothing but the trades, which obviously I think we're missing a lot of right now. And so get all sorts of disciplines, put a curriculum together around, or a playlist, if you want to call it. Curriculum sounds so schooly, right? You know, put a playlist together around all the definable topics. You've got PDF downloads. You've got all that stuff that you need. And I would make it completely virtual. I would offer certificates so at the end people know what they do. I know administrators are probably, their ears are bleeding right now. They're thinking, you can never do it that way. But if this is my school. So the school of my dreams is it would be entirely distance. You could do it anywhere in the world, solar-powered MP3s, and the curriculum would be based entirely on podcast.
That's a very interesting answer. Thank you for that. So, Scott, you talked about a freebie that you have for the listeners of Better Leaders, Better Schools. That's going to be available at mybusinessonpurpose.com/better. Do you want to describe those two gifts that you have for folks?
Absolutely. Man, I love giving stuff away for a couple of reasons. Number one, I want people to find their narrow brilliance really, really badly. So there's two things. One is a purpose. I call it the purpose tool. Again, terrible at naming stuff, but it's how to articulate your purpose. And it's on one page, on one PDF. I ask you five questions. And at the end, the goal is to be able to write down your purpose or your mission statement in less than 15 words. And so it'll just give some people clarity. And if nothing else, it'll make you stop for 15 minutes and just be quiet and think through. So that's one thing. The second thing is, I don't know about you, email gives me anxiety. And I literally mean that. It gives me anxiety when I see my inboxes filled up. I'm thankful on one hand and I'm anxious on the other. And so what I decided to do a while back was I just decided, you know what, 2 to 3 times a week, I'm going to make it my goal to get to inbox zero, where I've got nothing in my inbox and it's all farmed out. And so what I did is actually my business coach, when I told him that, he said, well, Aaron Walker, mutual friend of ours, he said, man, how do you do that? And I told him, well, you know, this, that, and the other. And Aaron, he just said, no, stop. I want you to go do a video on it, and I want you to send it to all of us. And so I put together what I call the Email on Purpose video tutorial. It's 12 minutes. I walk you step by step through everything that I do. It's really simple, frankly, to get to inbox zero. It's work. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
You're going to have to spend, you know, probably half an hour a day to do it. And some people's jobs, you may or may not be able to do that. But there are some tools and some tricks in there, I think, that are really easy to implement. So those two things, how to articulate your purpose, and then also the Email on Purpose. And a little side note, I think you got to sign up for my email on that. And I send out a bunch of other stuff that's just for free. I love giving stuff away.
That's awesome. So again, mybusinessonpurpose.com/better. Scott, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice? And what is the best way we can get a hold of you?
Yeah, best way to get in touch with me is just head on over to the platform at mybusinessonpurpose.com, or you can shoot me an email at scott@mybusinessonpurpose.com. And I think my parting piece of wisdom, I'd go right back to that proverb, and where there is no vision, people eventually just kind of scatter and die. And so that would be my thing, is wherever you're at in kind of your life cycle as a leader for schools, I'm begging you as a parent, as a former student who didn't like school at all, I'm begging you to articulate your vision so you can show all of us where you want to take us, because we need you to take us there.
Scott, I ran out of room taking notes from so much I learned from you today.
Sorry, maybe that means I talk too much.
Absolutely not. There was just so much wisdom and so much we can learn from you. So I know that the audience would definitely feel the same way. And I just want to thank you again for being on the show.
Man, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Absolutely. Hey, Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.